Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Wednesday, October the 17th, and we got a ton of news to talk about today in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Later on in the podcast, I'll be joined by Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today, Antoine Staley, in his weekly spot to talk about the quarterback situation, the upcoming game against the Lions, and a bunch of other stuff. But before we get to Antoine, we have to dig deep into the quarterback situation. It was reported this afternoon that Miami Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill will not play against the Lions this week. This story on Tannehill has really been broken by the guys at the Five Reasons Sports Network. They've been all over the story and have been first with everything, so want to give them all the credit for breaking this story. But what they reported last night was it would be highly unlikely to play this week. That came out to be true. And they're also saying that it'd probably be 2 to 3 weeks until Tannehill can play. Now, I talk about this with Antoine, who was at practice today for the part that was open to the media. And this sounds like this injury. And the guys at the Five Reasons Sports Network are saying pretty much the same. This story's fluid. It's constantly changing. It's being updated. And there's always something new breaking at this time. They've just been the first with all the reporting, but it does seem like there's the potential this injury could go even beyond 2 to 3 weeks, and this could be possibly season ending. Possibly. Right now it's not. They are trying to rest his shoulder and rehab it by just giving him as much rest as possible. And you look at their schedule, Miami, they're home this week against the Lions. Then they have a short week against the Houston Texans. Then they're home against the Jets. At the Packers, bye. So they have 1, 2, 3, 4 games until they're bye, with one of them being a short week. So, you know, safe bet here is Tannehill, if he's not playing against the Lions, he's not going to come back a few days after that and play against Houston. So the next chance you get to see him play most likely would be against the Jets at home. But from the sounds of all the reports, his shoulder is in rough shape right now. Really rough shape. And who knows? Like I said, this story is really fluid right now, and it's constantly evolving. But for the time being in Miami, it is the Brock Osweiler show. You can break out all the Brocktober references. Let's Brock and roll. I've seen and heard a million of them since Sunday. But this is Brock Osweiler's chance to shine. It's probably his last chance to prove he belongs in the NFL as a starting quarterback. And we will see, because it sounds like Tannehill here is going to be shut down for a bit. And for a bit means at least the next 2 games, possibly more. And I would not be shocked if it is for the rest of the season. And that leads into a bigger question here with Tannehill. That, you know, last year, obviously, he had the ACL injury, missed all the season. This year, he's going to miss, you know, a handful of games. You know, at best, it's a handful of games. At worst, it's going to be the rest of the year here with his shoulder. And this is his throwing shoulder, which makes it even worse. You know, it's not his non-throwing shoulder. This is his throwing shoulder. So you have to start to question his future in Miami. You know, he played the first 5 games this year. The first 3, and he was okay. You know, nothing special. Your typical Ryan Tannehill performances. He didn't wow anybody by any means. But the last 2 games he played against New England and Cincinnati were absolutely dreadful. Then he gets this injury, which is preventing him from playing. And one would think if he misses any, you know, lengthy period here. And by lengthy period, he's already missed 2 games against Chicago and now the Lions that we know for sure. Houston, you could probably pretty much pencil in. He ain't playing that in a short week. So 3 games there. If he misses anywhere between 3 and, you know, 7 games, then this year for him is lost. It's a loss. I mean, that's a significant amount of time. And for a guy who needed to really prove himself that he belongs in this league as a starter, that he is improving, and he was ready to, you know, take that next leap with Adam Gase, you know, not being able to play here in the middle of the season, you know, hurts a lot. It really does hurt his chances of staying in Miami beyond this year a lot, for a few reasons. One, like I said, bad knee, bad throwing shoulder, and he is now 30 years old. So those are things that are not in his favor. The other thing is, with a throwing shoulder injury, you know, even if he has to have surgery at some point, you have to wonder, will he ever come back? You can rehab that, you know, every day till the cows come home. Will he ever be the same? And the question will always sort of linger over him. Is he now damaged goods? Sort of like the way that question lingers over someone like Andrew Luck, who missed all that time with a shoulder with an injury to his throwing shoulder. And this year, Luck has looked good, but there's still questions at times where, well, has he lost a little bit of his velocity? He's not quite the same Andrew Luck from before the injury. That question's just always there. And with someone like Luck, who, you know, coming out of college, was an elite-level quarterback, rated off the charts, he checked every box. Tannehill, that's not the case. So if he does lose a little zip, if he does lose a step, if he does lose this, you know, now you're taking a quarterback who is a borderline NFL starter to an okay NFL starter. You take a little bit away from that, what's left? And then you have to start to wonder if this is, you know, the end of Ryan Tannehill in Miami. You know, and I would think, safe guess, again, if he misses 3 to 7 games, and then you have to sort of factor in what's Miami's, where are they at that point? Are they still in the playoff mix? Have they lost 4 or 5 games in a row here with Osweiler because he couldn't get the job done? And if the season's lost, then why would you want to put him back on the field just to get hit more when the games pretty much are meaningless? You wouldn't want to do that if you're Adam Gase and you feel comfortable in your job and you start to realize, well, the playoffs really aren't in reach right now. Losing probably helps us maybe secure a higher pick to get that next quarterback that I need. So that is probably somewhere in the back of his mind, even though he would never admit it. You got that. And, you know, Tannehill, you know, Osweiler, here's the thing about Osweiler, and I think people still are taking this out of context. Osweiler had 380 yards, 3 touchdowns, no sacks. Yes, he had 2 turnovers. But you know what? As I've been saying, Tannehill turns the ball over most weeks as well, so he can't go nuts about the 2 turnovers. But if Osweiler keeps Miami afloat, and right now they are 4-2, and over the next, you know, 3 games, let's just say, they go 2-1. And then Tannehill, you know, he's okay, ready to come back. You're not putting him back out there. If Osweiler goes 2-1 in his next 3 starts, let's assume Tannehill's out. Lions, let's assume he's out. Houston, and let's just say 1 more week against the Jets. And in those 3 games, Brock Osweiler and the Miami Dolphins win 2 and lose 1. That means overall, Osweiler been 3-1 if you count the Bears game. You're not taking him out of the lineup, folks. I know Tannehill's the starter, and he's a better quarterback overall, which he is. Nobody's saying he's a lesser quarterback than Osweiler. But if Brock Osweiler goes on a little bit of a run where he goes, you know, 2-1 or 3-2 over 5 games, you're not taking him out of the lineup. You're just not. That's not what you do to the team. And so Tannehill here, I don't want to say we've maybe seen his last game as a member of the Dolphins, but would I be shocked if he never suits up for them again and takes another snap for him? No, I wouldn't, honestly, because we don't know this story. That's the thing. There's so much of the unknown right now and how severe this injury is and the timetable for when he may return. If he has to have surgery, then he's out for the year 100%. And I think that's what the Dolphins are trying to do here. Rest his shoulder for a few weeks, see where he's at, and then come, you know, probably first part of November, if it's improved some, maybe A, he's okay to play. If not, maybe a few more weeks of rest, then he'll be okay to play. Or C, this isn't looking good and he needs an operation. His season's over. That's where it looks like this is going right now. And again, all the credit to the guys at the 5 Reasons Sports Network. They have done a tremendous job breaking this story. They deserve all the credit for it. And that's where we are right now with Tannehill. There was a report today in the Miami Herald, in the Miami Herald, that the NFL is now investigating the Miami Dolphins for how they've handled the reporting of the Tannehill injury, because Tannehill didn't show up on the injury report last week until Friday. And for him not to play Sunday, the NFL is saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. That means he practiced in full Wednesday, he practiced in full on Thursday, and then all of a sudden this came out of the blue when there's been some things leaked here out of the organization that, well, maybe he didn't practice in full Thursday, he was limited. If he was limited, that should have been reported on the injury report. You didn't report it on the injury report, and that is a violation of the rules. So the NFL here is investigating this, and, you know, all depending on what the NFL finds and how severe they think Miami tried to quote-unquote cover this up possibly. You know, penalties could be a fine. It could be, you know, fines or suspension to the people that are involved who did cover this up. And if the NFL does feel this was really, really egregious, that they sort of hid this injury and there was a lot of people involved in hiding this injury to deceive the Chicago Bears in the league, then they could take away draft choices from the Dolphins in the 2019 draft. That is a possibility. I don't think it would go that far. I think it would probably just be fines, maybe, or if someone was directly involved in covering this up, a suspension. I don't think they'd go to the draft pick route, because from all the reports, it does sound like, you know, he did practice last Wednesday, and it sounds like last Thursday he didn't take 100% of the snaps, which if that's the case, Miami should have reported that and put him on the injury report as limited. They did not, and that's why the league is now looking into this. So we'll see what comes from that, but the league is looking into this. And again, it's very unfortunate because Ryan Tannehill, the person, is one of the most amazing people that you'll ever meet and know. He is everything you want in a high-character individual and what you want your starting quarterback to be. Great guy. Seems like a great father and a great husband. Just, you know, always says the right thing. Hard worker. Puts in the work, whether it's in the film room or on the field, putting in extra practice time with his wide receivers. So he checks all those boxes of a high-character individual who does everything you want. With that said, though, the knee injury is what it is. Now a throwing shoulder injury is what it is. He missed all last season. He's going to miss, you know, at least a handful of games this year, possibly more. And when he was on the field, the last eight quarters he played as a member of the Dolphins were not very good. In fact, they were very bad. And, you know, even the three games this year that they won and they started off 3-0, you know, he was nothing special in. And he looked like essentially the same old Ryan Tannehill. And that he really hasn't evolved or was progressing any. So, I don't know. This might be the end of Tannehill Miami. Time will tell. It's going to be a story. It's going to probably be the lead story in this podcast every day until it's not. Until we get some confirmation one way or the other that he's getting ready to come back or that the Miami Dolphins will shut him down for the rest of the year. Who knows? But we'll see. And once again, give credit to the people at the Five Reasons Sports Network for breaking the story. They've been all over it from the beginning. They deserve all the credit regarding the story. So I can't say that enough. But we'll see how this plays out. But right now, we'll take a quick break. And after the break, I'll be joined by Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today, Antoine Staley, as we talk all things Miami Dolphins, talk about the game against the Bears, talk about the quarterback situation and what he knows at this time, and also preview this upcoming week's game against the Detroit Lions. So sit tight, and we'll be back after this.
Simbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Simbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. To win in South Florida area, visit Simbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline from USA Today is Miami Dolphins reporter Antoine Staley. Antoine, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I am doing great. So let's start off talking about the big story here. Ryan Tannehill, the guys over at the Five Reasons Sports Network, they've been doing great work having this story broken. It does seem like he's going to be out here Nobody is quite sure how long, but it seems like a few more weeks, I would say. It's probably a safe guess. Is that a safe guess, you think?
I don't know anything right now at this point. I'll just say this. He's definitely not going to play against the Texans. I already ruled that out I wrote about it on Monday. And I was like, I think it's unlikely he was going to play. And then, of course, they ruled him out today officially. And nice. I have a feeling he's not going to play against the Texans. It doesn't make any sense to play him.
Yeah. It's a short week.
So I think you can already eliminate him there. Beyond that, I don't know. I know today when we watched him out at practice during the availability, he couldn't throw the ball. And even Adam Gase said it.
That's not a good sign.
So that's not a very good sign at all that he can't throw a football. So it could be some long term. I have a feeling it's probably long term, and they want to see if rest can help it. And maybe if it can't, then I think surgery will be the option. Either if he opts to get surgery, he's gonna be out for the rest of the year. Yep. So you might as well just see if rest can help it in the next couple of weeks, and then I think that's how they're gonna assess it.
Yep, and it's so funny too because I remember in the off season during the preseason games, which I know you can't read a lot into that stuff. Everyone was so concerned about, you know, who's going to be the number two quarterback, who's going to be number two quarterback. And everybody's like, well, hopefully it's not an issue. And here we are on October 17th, and now it's an issue. But let's talk first here about Osweiler. Last week, you know, he didn't do a lot, but what he did do, he did well. In that he didn't really – well, first off, he took no sacks, which is good. Part of that's on the offensive line. Part of that's on him. It's not just him alone. So that was good, and he made enough plays, I thought. You know, yes, they were short passes, but I thought he played, you know, for a guy who hasn't really been in a real game for a bit, I thought he did okay. What were your thoughts on Osweiler?
Yeah, I thought he played really well. I thought he looked like he real comfortable in the offense. Of course, he knows the offense better than Tannehill.
Yep.
Because he goes back dating to his days in Denver with Adam Gase, and that's the reason he signed with the Dolphins in the first place. But yeah, I just thought he looked comfortable. Yeah, he made a few bad throws, but I thought that's what the Dolphins offense wants. They would take a little short passes, occasionally throw the ball out the deep down the field at times. But Adam Gase, his offense is predicated on just short passes and letting the receivers make yards after the play. And that's what Brock Osweiler did. He just took what the defense gave him. Didn't really take sacks. I thought it was times where he threw the ball. He knew pressure was coming,
yep.
So he threw the ball away. I thought he did a really, really good job, to be honest with you, considering the circumstances.
Yep, and like I've been saying pretty much since the game, it's pretty much he had a typical Tannehill performance. He turned the ball over twice. Okay, you sort of have to live with that. But Tannehill, he turns it over usually once or twice a game, so that's a wash there. And, you know, he just made the plays that were there. I don't expect to see, you know, 380 yards and three touchdowns every week. I'm not crazy, but, you know, I thought he was okay, and he was a pleasant surprise. And this week against the Lions, one would think they're going to be ready for the short passing game, and they would have to mix up this offense a little bit here.
Well, Matt Patricia's played Adam Gase for a while. I mean, they know each other for a really long time, just playing against each other where Gase was in Denver or, of course, with the Dolphins, and Patricia was with the Patriots, the defensive coordinator. So it's not going to be like it's anything these guys haven't seen before.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that they know how to play. I'm sure just playing against Osweiler, Patricia, he knows how to play him. They're going to try to mix up some things, try to get some pressure on him, just force some erratic throws. And I assume that's the Lions. That's what's going to be in the Lions' lane play, just try to get him off his game and get pressure in his face, and hopefully he can throw some interceptions.
Yep, and let's go back a minute here to the Chicago game for 1 second. That game was a crazy game, and I've seen a lot of Miami Dolphins game. I've seen even a bunch in person. That was one of the craziest games I've seen in a long time. What was your big takeaway from that game? To me, I thought it was a play of the offensive line. I thought the offensive line, you know, everyone was so nervous about that offensive line heading into that game. They held their own, and then some, I thought, and they played a heck of a game. Frank Gore had over 100 yards rushing. Osweiler, he wasn't sacked, as we said, and he, you know, he had some pressure on him here or there, but for the most part, you know, he had a clean pocket for most of that game. What was your big takeaway from that game?
Yeah, I thought it was the offensive line. I thought they played as well as they could have. I don't think anybody expected that, considering the Bears came into this game number two in overall defense, and they just neutralized Khalil Mack. I know he suffered an ankle injury, but even with so, I thought Jawai James did an excellent job. I thought both tackles, Laramie Tunsil, also did a really good job. And that was really the big difference in the game. Who knows what would have happened if the Bears would have been able to get some pressure on Osweiler. That's how close the game it was. It really could have went either way.
Absolutely.
It was just going back and forth and back and forth. One big play just could have swung this whole different direction. But, yeah, I thought that was the big takeaway as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and now we look forward to the Lions. Let's go over some of the injury news first, because I know today there was a lot. I saw you had a report up that Bobby McCain was out on the field today practicing some, I believe. Would you take a guess that he'll probably try to go this week?
I will see. I know he's playing this last week too, so yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to see if he can practice fully. I think that's what it's going to come down to. If he can fully participate in practice on Friday, I think that'll be a good sign for him. Last year, he actually did practice, but it was a little early on a limited basis, and they decided to keep him out another week, especially considering it's a knee injury. So we'll see how he progresses throughout the week.
Yep, and Chase Allen today went to the IR with a foot issue. That foot issue we heard, I think, back in week two or so, just
three.
Never seemed to – oh, okay, it was week three. Never really seemed to heal right, and now he's on IR, and they re-signed Maurice Smith, I believe, and added him to the roster after
yes.
he was just
– yes.
Yeah, okay. And how about Wake? Is there any news on Wake?
Well, we asked the guest about that. He just said, we'll see. He's not going to disclose too much anything. We didn't know much about the surgery.
The damn HIPAA loss, as he was saying Sunday.
Well, yeah, that's a whole different argument there. But, he didn't even say anything about surgery whatsoever. So, I don't know. It's one of those things where Gase is an older player. I would think they're not going to rush him back. If he can go fully, I think they'll play him. But I think if they kept him out another week or two, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yep, absolutely. And let's talk about this Lions game. The Lions game to me is, look, every game in this league is always big, but they present a bit of a matchup scare, I think, for Miami, because they have three very good wide receivers. And if Bobby McCain is less than 100%, or if he's not out there, I think they're going to have a lot of trouble trying to slow down those receivers. What's your thoughts on the Lions overall, and can Miami slow down those wide receivers that they have?
Well, it's going to be tough, yeah, especially without Bobby McCain. We saw with Torrey Mattier out there, he struggled last week, and Cordarrelle Tankersley isn't much better, if at all better, because he hadn't even played prior to last week. He hadn't played at all. I think he kind of fell out of favor with the Dolphins in general. So, yeah, they definitely could use Bobby McCain back this weekend because you're playing a really talented team in the Lions. Of course, everybody talks about Golden Tate. You also have Marvin Jones. They have a really tough, talented group there. And, of course, Matthew Stafford's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I definitely think one thing that might help them is Stafford is a gambler. He does like to throw the ball in the tight windows because he trusts his arm so much. So that will give some opportunities for the Dolphins secondary to get some interceptions against them. But yeah, they definitely could use Bobby McCain. Without him, it's definitely going to be tough. Maybe to pull this out.
Yeah, I'm on the same page with you. I think without him, it's going to be an uphill battle just because they are so deep at wide receiver and they have a quarterback who's not afraid to throw it around. With the Bears, they have some weapons at wide receiver, but they have a younger quarterback, which at times it showed last week, especially with the interception in the end zone late in the game. That sort of showed that he's still sort of, learning and stuff like that. With Matthew Stafford, you probably wouldn't see a mistake like that, and I think he is going to look to take advantage of that cornerback spot if McCain's not out there. What else are your thoughts in this game? What do you think Miami needs to do on offense to win? I know it's tough with Osweiler. It's pretty much probably be the same type of game plan we saw last week. Now, last week we did see them stick to the run, which every week we talk about it, and it worked last week with Frank Gore. Would you expect to see more of the same with that now with Osweiler under center?
Yeah, I think that's what they should do no matter who's under center. But, yeah, I definitely think that they should continue to run the ball and that'll open up the passing game. I know the Lions secondary isn't necessarily the greatest in the league right now. So you would definitely, that's definitely something you want to take advantage of as well, some deep plays down the field. but also think you want to be able to establish that running game so you don't have the Lions stacking the box and just trying to get pressure, quick pressure on Osweiler because they know they're going to try to get the ball out quickly. You want to be able to at least establish some kind of running game along with the pass, just be able to mix it up, and I think that's something that Adam Gase is going to do.
Yep, absolutely. So, in closing here, what's your prediction for this week's game against the Lions?
Oh, I mean,
that's tough. I know.
It's tough to go
against
them. I'm gonna take the Lions, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Dolphins were to win. It really could go either way. I'll say this with the Bears, it was chances for them to win the game. Yeah, I thought you kind of touched on that. Mitchell Trubisky, he missed some throws. Was very erratic at times. So if those same plays are open against a quarterback like Matthew Stafford, he's definitely going to take advantage. I expect it to be a close game going down to the wire. Dolphins obviously played much better at home than they do away. I think that I'm going to take the Lions maybe by a field goal in this one.
Yeah, I'm sort of right there with you. I think the Lions, just because they have more experience at the quarterback spot and just because I think they have more depth at wide receiver, something Chicago – they didn't have either one of those things, and I think they wouldn't make the mistakes that Chicago made, because that game against the Bears was one of the wildest games. Each team had a fumble at the one-yard line, essentially, heading into the end zone. Chicago threw an interception in the end zone. Chicago had a missed field goal. Yes, it was a long one, but it was still a missed field goal. Just the turns in that game, 75-yard touchdown here, 45-yard touchdown here, and then the running back for the Bears, who Miami had no answer for Cohen. They had no answer for him. At the end of the game, he fumbles, which shocked – I mean, that shocked me. He fumbles at the end of the game after he had the – I mean, that game was so crazy and had so many turns. It was just unbelievable. And I don't know. It just seems like Miami finds themselves in these crazy games more often than not.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's never a dull moment watching the Dolphins.
It's but, never. Yeah,
they're always in wacky games like this, especially in particular this year. It seems like they've been in some really, really crazy games. And, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it'd be another close game.
Especially at home. You had a game against the first game of the year against Tennessee with the weather delays that went 7-8 hours. You had the game against the Raiders, which had some crazy plays in that one. And then this one against the Bears, and nothing surprises me. And it'll be interesting to see what takes place this Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium. Antoine, thanks so much for joining me on the show. Everyone, be sure to read the work of Antoine Staley at DolphinsWire.USAToday.com and follow Antoine on Twitter at Antoine Staley. Antoine, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good.
All right, have a good one.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one-stop source for anything and everything Miami Dolphins. From the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast to original commentary, breaking news, and interviews with current and former players as well as media types, DolphinsTalk.com keeps you up to date and informed with all the latest happenings taking place in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk and to check us out at DolphinsTalk.com every day for all your Miami Dolphins needs.
All right, we're back. And once again, I'd like to thank Antoine Staley for joining us here on the podcast. Everyone, be sure to read the work of Antoine Staley at DolphinsWire.USAToday.com. Now, let's get into this week's picks. Last week, Landon and Jeff picked up a game on me, so I still have a one-game lead overall. Now, they recorded their show earlier this week because of some logistical issues they had and some stuff taking place in their life. So their three picks are the Patriots -3, the Rams -10, and Kansas City -5.5. So those are those three picks. There wasn't a line on the Rams game when they recorded, but that is the line now. So let's get to my three picks this week as I look to get some more space between myself and Landon and Jeff and get to a more comfortable lead. One game's a little too close. I don't like that. So here are my picks for this week. Game number one, give me the Jacksonville Jaguars at home -4.5 against Houston. I have no faith at all in the Houston Texans this year. That is a team that I was really, had high hopes for heading into the year, but it has been a real disappointment thus far. Jacksonville's coming off a butt-whooping against the Cowboys. I think they're going to be motivated. They play much better at home. I think they're going to be really motivated heading home to show last week's loss was a fluke. So give me Jacksonville minus 4.5 at home for game number one. Game number two. And this team I don't trust at all. But I think they're starting to turn things around. And I think they're starting to get their act together. So give me the Minnesota Vikings on the road minus 3 at the New York Jets. Now the Jets here have a nice little winning streak taking place. They've won a couple games and, you know, they're playing much better. Sam Darnold, as I said at the start of the year, he's going to be a pain in the neck for Dolphins fans for many years to come. And he's starting to show that he is a good quarterback. But I think the Vikings here are just a better team overall. They're starting to get their groove. They're starting to come together and be that team everyone thought they were. So I think they can go on the road here against the Jets and sort of handle the Jets. I still don't have a lot of confidence in the Jets being an average team. I think they still have their moments where they'll struggle. And Minnesota here across the board has better talent. So give me Minnesota minus 3 for pick number 2. And pick number 3 I think is a mortal lock. Give me the Indianapolis Colts minus 7.5 at home against the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills are a train wreck right now. And this week they're going to start Derek Anderson, a quarterback who they just picked up, I think like 10 days ago. He's going to start for him this week. If he doesn't start, it's going to be Nate Peterman, who's even worse. Josh Allen's going to be out for a few weeks. And I don't know how the Bills, and I'm no huge fan of the Indianapolis Colts. They really don't impress me much. But A, they're at home. And B, they're playing a team that is just a mess right now. Just an utter disarray. And I'll lay 7.5 at home here with Luck and the Colts. Because I don't think the Bills, I don't think they're going to score more than like 10 points. And I think Indianapolis, you know, will put up a few touchdowns here and cover this one easily. So pick number 3, give me Indianapolis minus 7.5. So my 3 picks this week are Jacksonville minus 4.5 against Houston, Minnesota minus 3 against the Jets, and the Indianapolis Colts minus 7.5 against the Bills. So that's this week's picks. As I said, I have a 1-game lead on the Landon and Jeff show. Hope to retain that lead and expand it some, as I don't want to buy them a prize, so I want to win. So that's the picks for this week. We'll have shows the rest of the week on Thursday and Friday, possibly some guests too. I'm working on landing some guests, so there's that. But as always, check out the website dolphinstalk.com, as we have a bunch of new articles up on the site. As to be sure to follow me on Twitter at dolphinstalk, as well as follow us on Instagram at dolphinstalk, and wherever you listen to this podcast, whether SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, be sure to subscribe to it and leave us a comment or a rating. That's always appreciated as well. And also check out our YouTube channel. I'm putting up a couple videos slowly but surely from over the weekend, and we do have a couple new videos up on our YouTube channel. We really don't, you know, have a lot of content on our own personal YouTube channel. The link to it's on the website on the right-hand side. We have a link that leads right to YouTube. You can't miss it. So check out some of the videos we have put up on our YouTube channel from this past weekend, and I might be able to add a couple more here in the coming days to come. But that's all for today's show. Everyone enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.